Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Dave Moore on Today FM.
Now, there's a brand new documentary coming to RTÉ. It's this Thursday. It's called Camogie Inside the Championship. It follows this year's Camogie Championship from start to finish. And as you might remember, it was quite an eventful season. If you don't, well, I guarantee you, if you watch this, you'll understand how eventful it was. One of the stars of the championship is Tipperary's Clodagh McIntyre, who joins me right now. Hello, Clodagh.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Just pause you for 1 second. I'll introduce the man who's sitting across from me in the studio as well. Filmmaker Ross Whittaker is here to chat all about the documentary he has made called Camogie Inside the Championship. How are you, Ross?
Hiya, Dave. How's it going?
Ross, you'll know from his work things like the Katie documentary, the Shane Lowry one, Rachel Blackmore, Beat the Lotto. We'll talk about all that in a second, Ross. But Camogie Inside the Championship. Why did you want to make this documentary? And I mean, the timing, I think, worked out pretty well for everybody. There was an amazing championship, but also a load of stuff off the pitch as well, which is often when you're making a documentary, I'd imagine you want little satellite stories around the kind of the sun of the main part of the story. But why this documentary now?
Well, I mean, a lot did happen in the year, and it was actually a pretty incredible year to be following all these amazing people who play Camogie. But the background, I suppose, was the idea was, could we follow a Gaelic Games championship from start to finish, and what sport would you do it in?
Sure.
And there was a few conversations around that, and also with Paula Fahey in RTÉ, who's the commissioning editor for sport. And we were like, well, we should do Camogie because it's actually the one that's getting the least attention. And Paula's a Camogie expert. It's her background.
Okay.
And she said, like, the sport has moved on so much in the last 10 years and we just don't think people are seeing that. So yeah, so we thought, like, well, let's look at Camogie. And I'm so glad we did, because the sport is amazing. It has become so physical, so fast, so it was brilliant to cover it. And then a lot of stuff happens off the pitch too.
And Clodagh, obviously Tipperary didn't quite go all the way without any spoilers for the previously shown championship that everybody probably knows about. But do you feel like the sport is moving in the right direction at the moment?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's small changes happening each year that shows that it is going in the right direction. Now, there is a lot to go, all the same, to bring it up to, you know, the male counterparts and the standard and the exposure that they get. But in terms of effort, you know, the effort that we put in is the exact same as what any other, you know, nearly professional full-time athlete would be putting in as well. So it's great that Ross could capture that through the snippets of following different players from different counties.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think that came across to both of you really well, is the commitment and the seriousness with which you all take this sport. Because as Ross was mentioning, it's probably the one sport that, you know, it probably gets the least amount of coverage around the place, certainly in terms of kind of general awareness. Whereas when you watch the documentary, you realise how much effort is being put in, how much time is being spent, how your lives, Clodagh, are completely based around everything you have to do from a training point of view, from a match day point of view, from a season point of view. You plan your life around the whole thing.
100%. From the outset, people might think we're a bit crazy. like, from my own perspective, like, I moved home and I'm renting in Nina because my club is from Lura. If I was living in Lura, you know, I'd have an hour commute to training,
yeah,
which would be 2-hour round trip. So I moved my whole life to Nina to make sure the training is kind of half the distance. And I'm not saying that from a point of view of, oh, I sacrifice everything. Like every other Camogie player on an inter-county team is probably doing the same things. But when you're in championship and when you're in the game, like, every decision you make is based around trying to somehow make your performance better, or how you can contribute to your team any possible way that's better as well, whether,
yeah,
that's sleep, nutrition, whether that's missing social events, whether that's trying to do some gym work or mobility, even when you don't really want to, and showing up to train and all the same too.
Yeah.
Good,
and after
energy,
obviously working a job as well, because like all GAA players, it's an amateur sport, so there has to be an income coming from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm working in a private practice clinic in Neenah as well, and I'm very lucky that my bosses are allow me to be quite flexible in terms of my hours. But it's the same with a lot of other players. Like they'll try and pick a job that is and allows that flexibility. And you're right, there is no income coming from it, which another reason why people might think it is crazy. But you know, when you're playing, you only have a very short career with it, and it flies by. And when you're in it, you want to be able to give 100%.
Absolutely.
So nearly work and relationships and other things might take a close second while you're there. But it's definitely, I suppose, there's no way of saying that you're balancing it perfectly.
But you do your best. Yeah, absolutely.
But you do your best.
Yeah, I get it. Ross, one of the things I said a documentary maker looks for is stories, and then more stories, and then other stories around those stories. The Scorts debacle, I don't want to spend the whole thing up, because in fairness, you treat it really well in that it's in the documentary, but the documentary isn't about Scorts. And I know Clodagh and every single other player in the country is just glad that they never have to mention or hear the word Scorts again. But because the documentary was made around the time that this was such a massive conversation, as a documentary maker, you must have been like, well, this is great, because it shines a light on the sport in a different angle.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was obviously horrendous for the women involved that they've been wearing this attire for years that they really find uncomfortable, and they just want a choice. I mean, people who want to wear it can wear it. But from a filmmaking, television making point of view, it's an absolute godsend, because it captures in one story exactly the situation that Camogie is in that, you know, these players aren't being listened to. It's a slow progress and all the things that they need to happen for their sport. And in this small story that did capture everyone's imagination, we were able to tell that. And one fantastic thing about it was Katy Power and Aisling Maher, the Dublin and Kilkenny captains, on the day that went out and wore the shorts, we were literally following those two characters. I mean, we couldn't have written that, and they're two amazing people. So, yeah, from our point of view, that was amazing. And like in a funny way, though, Dave, we didn't want to get bogged down in like all the sacrifices that these guys make. We know that, and we'll see it. Or the Scorts, even though we want to tell it, like we just wanted to show how brilliant the sport is.
Yes, and you really do.
Yeah, the matches are amazing. Like it blew me away, some of the games we were at, and the, you know, one team's going ahead, the other team's coming back, the level of skill, the speed, the sheer physicality of it really blew me away across the year. Well, and we want to showcase that.
Let's showcase that exact moment, because Clodagh, you were involved in an incredible situation where in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, you were subbed off during the second half in Croke Park. But then you were sent back on in extra time. I presume you have a memory of this moment.
Rushing onto it here, trying to win it, is Clodagh McIntyre. She has it, McIntyre, heading towards goal. Here's an opportunity. McIntyre! Oh, what a goal! What a super finish!
I just remember the, like, insane cheer.
She picked up possession of it, ran onto the 13, and when you need a finish, what about that?
Master stroke from Dennis Kelly to bring her back on.
It was phenomenal. It was a rocket. She was the right person to get the ball in that instance, and for Tipperary, we were very, very lucky that she did.
You were a master stroke for Dennis Kelly to bring on. How did you feel at that moment, Clodagh?
Yeah, oh, sheer joy. It's hard to listen to that and not smile. I think I'm beaming now. definitely a big highlight. And, like, it just, I suppose I was thrilled with how I was able to manage, you know, coming off, it's easy, drop the head. And I probably in my previous years, like I've worked a lot on trying to get my mindset right this year and the last few years. And I definitely know that I probably would have sulked other years. But thankfully, I've learned that it's not all about you and the team sport.
Yeah, but also to have that mental reset where, yeah, you can take the disappointment. It, you know, it's there, deal with it. But then if you get called back on, that's so important to be able to get back on with a clean slate.
Yeah, no, I was lucky management gave me another chance, you know, like loads of games don't go to extra time and you don't get that opportunity.
Fair.
So I had a bit of venom and conviction in the belly, I suppose, to try and prove my point, to make sure I was going to have some sort of, I suppose,
impact.
In, impact in the quarter or the semi-final to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, you did just that. Clodagh, we're going to leave you go, but thank you so much for taking the time today to have a chat, and best of luck for the upcoming season, and we'll keep an eye on Camogie Inside the Championship when it's on RT1. Fair play to you. Thanks, Clodagh.
Thanks very much, Dave. Talk to you.
Ross, I'm going to read out an embarrassing list of your achievements so far, so forgive me for a second. But Ross made When Ali Came to Ireland, the amazing Muhammad Ali documentary. Anthony Foley, Munster Man, incredible portrait of Axel. Katie, of course, one of the biggest Irish sports documentaries ever. Shane Lowry, The Open, The Boys in Green, The Toughest Summer. Barney Curley, The Man Who Beat the Bookies. Rachel Blackmore, A Grand Year. Tackling the All Blacks. The Road Down Under, which we spoke to you last year about, Ross, when you were following the Irish football team in Australia, the Irish women's team. And Beat the Lotto, which is your most recent one, which I saw has just popped up on my Netflix.
Oh, good. I'm glad it has. You never know with the algorithm, you know.
Okay, so Beat the Lotto. Let's talk about that one, because I mean, you've made so many documentaries and so many of them are sports related. Beat the Lotto was a little bit different in the sense that it was sporting in some ways, you know. I mean, gambling and all that, there's an element of sporting to it, and there's the lottery side of things and whatever, you know. But it was a little bit of a departure for you in when I read out that list of sports documentaries to jump into this. Why was this story so attractive?
Yeah, well, I think it's, I suppose in a way it is a bit like a sports documentary, isn't it? In that, like, you have people, it's trying, you know, who've set themselves a goal. They're going to try and beat the lottery by winning, by buying all the combinations and guaranteeing a win. And then you build that tension towards that conclusion, which I suppose is quite like
a season.
Sports documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So like someone who's trying to win the Champions League or, you know, whatever thing it is, the Grand National, whatever it might be. So from that point of view, yeah. And also, you know, I love genre films, heist films, that kind of thing. So it was an opportunity within a documentary to do a heist.
I think
movie.
I said that actually when I was asked for a few lines about Beat the Lotto. I said it felt like a heist movie because, you know, that's what it was like. It was a collection of individuals with an exact plan at an exact time in exact locations, much like a heist would be. Their argument, of course, being this was entirely legal, and the other people's argument being no, it wasn't. I mean, have a listen to the trailer for this one, because it's such a great story.
And we have the man who is the author of this book, which is called Win the Lotto. You're in a syndicate yourself, aren't you?
Yes, indeed.
And how many times did you win the jackpot?
Well, we haven't won the jackpot yet.
Have you won anything yet?
No. Let's just say down in Cork, everything is possible.
And of course, the rest is history.
What could you make of Stefan?
He's once off. There'll never be another one like him. He had all these systems. They never worked, but he was a good man at selling them.
When I calculated the number of combinations, I felt this was an opportunity to beat the lottery. That's when the story really starts.
So the whole idea behind this is that a lad decided that if he did enough calculations, he could work out how many lottery tickets you needed to own until you had every combination possible and therefore were guaranteed the win, and whether or not the cost of buying every one of those lottery tickets was less than the amount of money that was in the jackpot. Is that right?
You've explained it so well, Dave. I'm sure everyone totally understood that. No, I mean, yeah, exactly. The cost of buying all the tickets was less than the jackpot. However, you know, if you shared the jackpot, then it gets diluted.
Yeah.
But on that particular weekend, there were bonus amounts.
Gotcha.
And those bonus amounts pushed it over the edge and said, like, you know, basically it would take some crazy turn of events and 30 winners before you'd lose money.
Okay.
So then it was like, well, we have to go for it. But they planned it for a year thinking something like that might happen.
Because they had to wait for those bonuses to be in play.
Exactly,
because
This
was up to the lottery, and this was based on previous draws not being won and it rolling over and having this bank of money, and all of a sudden they could do all these things. So it was a perfect storm in a way.
Yeah, and the poor old National Lottery were just trying to make it an attractive game for people by offering these bonuses. But obviously to Stefan and Paddy and all the guys that were in the syndicate, it was an opportunity they couldn't let go.
And isn't it the case then that lotteries now around the world, and I don't mean based specifically on this, but lotteries have things built in where they have a certain number of often you see jackpots limited, so you get to a certain number and it stops there, and the reason is that if it was to keep going, you would be able to buy all the things. But like at this point, you're in the hundreds of millions of euro now at this point.
Yeah, but the mad thing is in the States where the jackpots do get so high, you do still see people attempting to do things
like this.
Now in Ireland, they increased the amount of numbers, you know, not necessarily for that reason, but the numbers have gone up, which means you couldn't do it.
Yeah,
gotcha. it wouldn't add up anymore.
All right. Well, look, Beat the Lotto is definitely worth keeping your eyes on. It's on Netflix. Before I let you go, Ross, Camogie documentary done, box ticked. Will there be any other GAA stories currently floating around in the news that might require a documentary to be made about them? I can't think of anything in particular, but I think maybe...
Would you be talking about something that's on the front of all the newspapers
today? Front of every newspaper, possibly, yeah.
Well, I read that it's going to be on primetime tonight, a full hour-long special, so you've got to be quick to get those stories.
Right, maybe Ross wasn't quite quick enough for this story, but there'll definitely be DJ documentaries for sure. Ross, congratulations on the documentary. As I said, you can see it on Thursday night on RT1, Camogie Inside the Championship, and the second part the following Thursday. Thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you.
Dave Moore on Today FM.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.